Morning. The scripture reading for today comes from Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this is my prayer, that your love may be abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God.
Good morning, church. If you are a visitor, I definitely see some new faces. If you're visiting with us, we are glad that you are here with us this morning. If you were here last week for our gospel meeting, Mr. Donnie Bates came down from Denver. He did a wonderful job walking us through the book of Hebrews, encouraging us to continue to grow, encouraging us to hold fast to that faith and to continue to run the race with endurance. I figured it's only fitting, since the last time I preached, we were in Philippians chapter 4. I figured this time we should go to Philippians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles this morning, make your way to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Because this morning, I want to address another issue that I think we all face, something that we all end up dealing with to some degree. And that is the idea of labels. It seems in this world has become obsessed with labels and with status. Everyone wants to be the best. Everyone wants to get their name out there. There's a fear of missing out. And so people chase after what's popular so that we don't miss it. So we don't look like the odd one out. And people scramble to get noticed. Celebrities, they do it. We think of movie stars. If you have The Rock and Kevin Hart in a movie, it's going to be probably a crude movie, but it's going to be funny. You're going to laugh. Those guys use their names to get the movie out there, to get more people to see it. Same way with artists. People will collab with various songwriters that are popular, that are trending, so that they can get their name out there. They can get their songs out there, and that trickles down into our ordinary life as well. Every week there seems to be a new voice saying, if you follow my plan, you can get rich really quick without having to put in any work almost. There's a promise. Everyone's fighting for your attention. They're fighting for likes. They're fighting for your follow. They're fighting for your attention. And with all of that noise, we end up carrying labels. Whether we earn them, whether they're just slapped on by someone else, we carry those labels. If at work or school you're known for being a procrastinator, you're known for getting things done at the last minute, good chances are no one wants to work with you because of the fear that they're going to have to pull your weight because you're not going to get it done on time. If you're popular, you probably hang out with the cool people, the cool kids club. If you're into video games, chances are you're not really going to hang out with a bunch of people that like to talk sports. If you are a good cook, there's suddenly an expectation that you're going to bring that favorite meal to every event. And if you don't, there's almost that disappointment in people's voices. Did you bring it? No, not this week. Ah, all right, maybe next time. There's that disappointment because there's an expectation. If you're the crafty one, you get tasked with decorating and making things look cute. If you're the organized one, people will hand you the clipboard and expect you to keep everyone else on task. If you're the funny one, you're expected to keep the room laughing. You're expected to keep people entertained. And if you are labeled as the quiet one, often people associate you with being shy or even detached. Even if it's not true, we tend to sort ourselves and others into these various groups, giving them labels. And if we really think about it, those labels, they don't just describe who we are. They start to define us to some level. They tell us who we belong with, what's expected of us, what we expect from ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, that creates pressure. Worrying what other people think, worrying about what is expected of me. And as we talked about in Philippians chapter 4, it's another worry on top of a very long list that we have to deal with, that we have to figure out how to manage in life. But when we look at the book of Philippians, Paul, in the first 11 verses in this greeting, he kind of addresses some labels that are actually worth chasing after. Labels that are actually worth wearing, that are actually going to last. Labels that are going to last rather than just being a label that's going to fade as soon as the trend dies down. And so this morning, I want us to look at labels that are going to last. If you're in the book of Philippians, we're going to look at the first 11 verses of this book. And oftentimes, the beginning of Paul's letters are very routine. They're very similar if you were to go read through several of them. The way he opens it, the way he greets them, it's his greeting. It's his opening to this letter to this church. And yet, there's some things that he says to them that I think we can pull away for our life today. Paul, he starts this letter saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we see that we should be striving for is being known as servants of Christ. That's how Paul starts off his letter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ. If we were to go through and look at Paul's life, the things he did for Christ were great, but they were also hardships, difficulty. Currently, he's in prison one of many times. He gets up getting beaten, getting whipped, getting shipwrecked, all for the cause of the gospel, because Jesus told him, you are going to be my instrument to the Gentiles. And so Paul sets out to be a servant. Even if we look later in the book, Paul addresses the idea of being a servant to the Philippian church in chapter 2. Being a servant is probably one of the hardest things for us to do. It's easy and it's also difficult. We spend our whole life trying to be better, trying to one-up someone in the corporate ladder, so to speak. When I started out as the electrical apprentice, I was the bottom of the barrel. And a lot of the houses up in Denver are two-story houses, so lots of stairs. And since I'm the new guy, I was tasked with, oh, we forgot a hammer. Can you go get the hammer? Go up the stairs, get the hammer, come back down the stairs. Oh, we also need this. Go back up the stairs, go back down the stairs. Because I was at the bottom. Unfortunately, we never hired someone else, so I didn't get... But if we would have hired someone else, I would have looked at him and been like, you go up the stairs, you go down the stairs, because I'm up now. I'm at a higher position than you. You can go up the stairs, and you can come down the stairs the 20 times throughout the end of the day. In school, the seniors, when you become a senior, you have that rank. I don't have to put up the pads. I don't have to do all these low things because the freshmen get to do it. They get to earn their way through. We work to become managers, to not be the new hire, so that way we can point at someone else and say, that's your job. I'm in charge. You do it. We work to try to do less, to try to have people under us so we can delegate, that we can tell what to do. And Paul says, Paul, a servant of Christ. And if you were to go read a lot of Paul's other letters, his letters to the Romans, the Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, the letters to Timothy, the letter to Titus, Paul almost starts all of those the same way, but he includes Paul, an apostle. Paul, an apostle. He puts his status. A lot of those churches had issues with his authority. They questioned his apostleship, and so Paul put that there. But even with this church, he's a servant. He's putting himself on the same level as the saints. Even, you know, to all the saints at Philippi, the overseers, the deacons, Paul's talking to everyone, regardless of status, regardless of what label you wear, regardless if you're an overseer, a deacon, a rich, poor in the church, doesn't matter. This letter is for you. And Paul is starting off this letter as a servant. I am one who serves, and he later will say, imitate me, because he imitates Christ. The first label we should strive to have is being a servant, one who's willing to serve for Christ. And Paul continues in this letter, in verse 3, he says, I thank my God in my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you, because I told you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn to be with you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul addresses this church, the Philippian church. They were well off compared to some of the other churches. They were one of the first churches to actually send Paul financial aid to help Paul when he needed it. They were the church that sent money to other churches. And Paul addresses them as partners in the gospel. From the time I stepped foot at Philippi to preach to you the gospel, you have been working with me there and even now in his imprisonment. The second label we should see that we should be striving for is this idea of partnership. Partnership in the work, partnership in the gospel, because the funny thing about partners is they know what's going on. My family's down, and I knew they were coming down, but it really didn't occur to me until the other day when I was reading through it. Me and Elijah, we were partners for everything at the farm. Everything. We were the only two. We got tasked with all the activities. If the cutter needed new blades, we were out there fixing it. And the heat, the metal's hot, everything's hot. If hay had to be moved, we got told to go do it. If there was a cow out, we were told to go out there and do it. No one's going to understand the experience of loading hay bales, thousands of them at a time, onto a trailer, stacking them all nice and neat because you don't want them to fall off, and then driving it to a barn that's even hotter, and then unloading the nicely stacked hay bales into the barn, and then going out and doing it again and again and again until the thousands of bales are picked up. No one's going to understand the joy of sorting cattle with the family. Why'd you not close the chute? I did close the chute, clearly not. The cow's out. We have to redo it. No one understands the difficulty and yet the joy that comes with it, like the people that are in the pen with you trying to sort the cattle. And the same goes for our Christian life. No one understands the temptations a Christian faces like a Christian. The world doesn't understand. The world says, hey, if you want to steal, go ahead. They've already accounted for these losses. They've accounted for things like this. They're not really going to hurt. Go ahead and take it. The idea of lying, the world doesn't understand. Yeah, tell that. You won't get in trouble. Avoid the consequence. Tell the lie. The world doesn't understand what it means to face temptation. The world doesn't understand what it means to have a joy in Christ. The world doesn't understand what it means to give up what you want for Christ. The world doesn't understand why in the world you would be a servant when you've worked so hard to have other people do that, the lowly stuff for you. The world doesn't understand, like the people in this room. We are all partners in the word. Partners understand what you go through. Husbands and wives are the best partnership. It doesn't matter if you're having a good day or a bad day, they're there with you. They're there in your highs, they're there in your lows, they're there when you're at your weakest, they're there when you're the strongest, and they're always by your side, uplifting you, pushing you, there for you. They know what you've been through because they're in the same boat with you. They're in the mud fighting the fight with you. And as Christians, we are all running that race that's set before us. We're all striving for the same goal. We're all striving to get there. And as partners, we should be encouraging each other to reach that goal, being there for each other. He even says in verse 7, "For you are all partakers with me of grace. We have all partook of the sacrifice." We all partake of the same love, the same grace, the same mercy that Christ poured out. We all get to experience it. The world doesn't understand. The world hasn't partook of it. The world doesn't experience what the Christian experienced, the joys that come with it and the sufferings that come with it. We are each other's partners. We are the ones, from the first time we came up out of the water until now, we are partners in the work. And that is something we should be striving for with one another. And Paul, lastly, in verses 9 through 11, which was read, it says, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with all knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." The last label that we see that Paul wants for the church at Philippi, and even for us today, is to be students that grow. Donnie, he talked about one of the issues that the audience of the Hebrew writer was writing to. There was an issue. They weren't growing. He goes, "You should be eating meat, but you're still drinking milk. You guys aren't growing." And that's Paul's wish for us today as the Hebrew writer, and even for this church. Let your love keep growing. They've already outpoured their love to Paul. Paul knows of their love, the generosity they've had to him. He goes, "Don't lose it. Let it keep growing, but also grow in knowledge and in all discernment. Keep growing. Keep deepening that faith. Keep striving to be more and more like Christ." I've heard it said to me often. I guarantee you can probably, some of y'all nod when I say this. The seasoned Christians, you continue to read through, and there's times you read something that you haven't seen before. A new phrase, a new word, something that's like, "Whoa, I didn't see that before. And yet this is my 20th time reading through the Bible. I've never noticed that before." We continue to grow. I was always told, if once you think you know it all, you're done learning, because you've already decided that you've learned everything. You know it all. And yet Paul is saying, continue to grow. Deepen that knowledge. Learn how to discern right from wrong as you continue to grow in the knowledge of Him, for the purpose that you might approve what is excellent and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. As we grow, as we continue to be students of the Word, we start to realize a more excellent way. We continue to be more like Christ. Paul, he'll address that Christ is our example. The Hebrew writer calls attention to be like Christ. A lot of passages, Donnie mentioned several passages that deal with the idea of be like Christ, be perfect, be holy. As we grow in that knowledge, we start to see, I'm not doing this that well. I'm not really loving my enemies. I'm really not sure that I'm doing the gossip right, or I'm not really sure I'm being too jealous. We start to see those things that we need to work on as we grow in Him. And then by applying those things, by finding the more excellent way, we make ourselves pure and blameless for the day of Christ. We continue to make ourselves more perfect in Christ's image. We continue to be more like our example, that is Christ, that we might be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul, in his greeting to the Philippian church, it's a opening of encouragement. He's glad that they're praying for him. They're glad he's doing well. His prayers are full of joy, and he still wants them to grow. But even when we look at it, we can see some labels that we should be striving for. The world throws a lot of labels at us. The world throws a lot of distractions our way, and it's easy to get caught up trying to be the best, trying to get our name out there, trying to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak. And it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. Being a servant, being like Christ, willing to get in the mud with others and do the things that are deemed as lowly. Working with each other as partners in the gospel, being there to encourage one another, to lift each other up, to push one another to finish the race, and to be students that actively grow in the Word, to be more like Christ, that we might be more like Christ. This letter to the Philippians, Paul will continue to go through and address how to be more like Christ, what it means to be a servant, what it means to be lowly and to put oneself above another. And these are labels that we as Christians should be striving for. We should want the world to see us as servants. We should have other Christians look at us and go, they're a partner in the gospel with me. They're in the thick of it too. And we should be known as people who are in the Word, wanting to grow. This morning, if there's anything that we can do for you, if there's any prayers of encouragement we can offer, if there's anything we can do as partners in the gospel for you, if there's any way that we can encourage you, I would ask that you come as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement this morning.